My name is Craig Freeman, and welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. When I was 16 years old, I saw Slide Hampton's World of Trombones for the first time. I will never forget this because it left such an impact on my life. Seeing that many trombonists, that many people playing my instrument who were better than I could ever imagine left an imprint on me. And I frame that as one of my favorite musical moments that developed me into the musician I've become today. There's something about having a super group of all of these talented musicians that really is impactful. This came to mind when I heard Minor Element, the band that we have today. They are a collective of sorts, drawing on many different musicians, many different backgrounds, and they create something bigger than themselves, and it's really impressive to see. I'd like to welcome to the studio Brandon Fitzpatrick, Anthony Tyler, Briley L. Green, and Sam Gustafson. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Before we get into some music, I'd just like to get some general background about your musical upbringing, your influences, that type of thing. Maybe we can start with you, Brandon. When did you start playing piano? Is that your main instrument?
Piano is my main instrument. I started playing keys when I was 4 and a half. I've been tinkering since I could reach it. Babies can just crawl up on anything. And I would crawl up on the bench and, like, climb, because I was a climber, and start, like, tinkering on the keys. Like, my parents would have to watch me, like, so many times because I'd almost fall over and almost hurt myself. But, like, I was always playing something. By the time I was able to, like, sit and, like, you know, struggle to reach the sustain pedal, I was, like, listening to, like, TV commercials and playing little bits of it and just picking it up by ear as, like, a child, like, a young child at, like, 4 and a half. I told my dad, I was, like, I want to play piano. Like, I want to do this. And he was, like, well, okay. Well, all right, well, I know how to play, like, a scale. So he taught me a scale. He taught me about four chords. And that was it. I ran with it. And at like 5, I was playing at church because my dad is a pastor. I was playing at church with him, and he does like missions trips and stuff like that. And when he went to Kenya that year when I was 5, he was gone for 7 weeks, and I had to cover the music ministry for the entire duration of the trip. And I was able to do that at age 5.
Wow. How did you go about that?
I don't know. By the grace of God, honestly. But I think just in general, background coming from church and then also just having a love of jazz and starting that love of jazz, just hearing anything. I used to listen to, you know, just XM radio when it was only called XM radio, like when I was a kid. And from then on out, I just started playing and really progressing my skill levels and teaching myself stuff and developed who I am today.
And then why don't we move on to you, Briley L. What's your history with the guitar? Is that your main instrument?
Guitar is actually not my main instrument. That was the second one that I picked up. I originally started playing trumpet in 6th grade, middle school. And guitar I picked up, I want to say it was my sophomore year of high school. So when I got to high school, I kind of found out you didn't have to play one thing.
There were more possibilities.
There were like, yeah. I don't know why I didn't think about it. It was kind of a dumb thing to realize after the fact. You know, you get to high school and it's like, oh, there are other instruments. And it's not just, you know, this one little world that I get to be stuck in.
Did you take lessons on guitar at all? Or did you
fully self-taught. Wow. Fully self-taught on guitar.
I always think it's interesting starting on a non-quarterly based instrument. You just think about music differently. Mm-hmm. I do that. And it's hard to unlearn that note by note kind of thing. Mm-hmm. How did that affect you when you went from playing individual notes and thinking about things that way to playing a guitar where you have to be a lot more conceptual?
That's an easy question. I was trash for like the first 2 years.
Learn the hard way.
You're absolutely right on that. And even like right now, like I'm thinking about, like I'm buying a ukulele and thinking about getting a mandolin because they're even for stringed instruments, like they think differently. You know, guitars are in like thirds and fourths in terms of intervals. And then those instruments are in like fifths.
Yeah.
And that's a easier jump than, you know, a trumpet, which is like I have no, like, if all I knew was trumpet and I didn't study anything else, I wouldn't even know what a chord was, basically. So like even the thought of intervals is like pretty simple, go up or down and that's it. But yeah, guitar was a pretty difficult jump. I found that playing with other people ended up like actually making me better and getting used to the instrument.
That's great. And Anthony, why don't you move to you and get a little bit of your back on how you got started. Drums are your, is that your first love?
Drums are my first love.
And then did you grow up playing in church? Did you just take lessons in school and band?
Well, yeah, growing up, played in church. And then my grandfather put me into, like, the Flint Institute of Music. Long story short, my dad took me out of the Institute of Music, and he wanted to, like, self-teach me, but he was not anywhere near, you know, what I was getting. Then I just asked him to stop. Without being rude, I just asked him to stop and just self-taught myself. It was easier for me to learn something. I'm a visual person, so if I can sit there and watch you do something over and over again, I can do it too. That's me in a nutshell. So
that's it's interesting that the three of you so far have had approached it from just a very inquisitive place. You were curious about music and you wanted to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So you figured it out.
Most definitely. I think it's the most fun that way, to be real. Any other place where you're looking at music from a less curious space for me is not as interesting. If I'm always wondering, like, where I can push myself, even as a kid, as I think all of us were interested in playing something to some capacity. It's about finding what you want to play. I think that was the hardest part. I'm saying what sound direction you actually want to be. There's a difference between being a musician and then being an artist. Everybody can play. That's a lie. But if people can play, you know, that's expected. You can play. All right, cool. But what do you do with that? You know, how do you take that and make it yours? How do you take a conglomerate and make it one? That's a huge thing.
Yeah. I think given that it's so easy to have access to so many different kinds of music, that's the thing that draws people in, right? We have these little clips on Instagram. If I'm on my phone on Instagram, I'll cycle through and there'll be a little clip of someone playing some music. And you have 4 or 5 seconds to draw someone in.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's so true today that you need to be unique in what you do. And you're right. Everyone is doing it. Everyone can do it. And it's about what separates you.
Yeah.
Agreed. Sam, why don't we get some background from you? You are a trumpeter. Was that your first instrument? What's your history with that instrument?
It was. I started trumpet when I was in sixth grade. Before then, I got interested in it when my sisters were in high school back at Vicksburg. And the band director at the time, Dennis Kozin, he at one point had put a trumpet in my hands. And I played a little bit. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And fell in love with it from the first part. And then have been playing it ever since. Really started to get more serious about it when I was in high school. And at that point, decided this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
That's great. So you approached it from a more traditional route, for lack of a better word, through going through band and orchestra. Mm-hmm. And it's still really cool that you met up with them and managed to meet in the middle and find music that you were passionate about and could offer your own voice to.
Absolutely. This has been probably one of the bigger challenges I've had, in that my whole life, whenever we've had to perform anything or learn something, it's been written down on paper. And you kind of sit down with everybody and you kind of learn how to read the notes and what the melody forms and stuff like that, or whatever else it may be. Here, it was I go in, and Brandon says, hey, I have an idea for you. And he plays this crazy lick, in the case of one of the songs we do called 5D, that is just super ridiculous. And it's like, and he says, well, learn it by ear. So it's like, there's nothing written down. Just have to pretty much go, okay, well, there's a starting note and let's figure out what it is along the way.
Yeah. I approach music the same way you did. I started in band and orchestra and had always had an interest in jazz. And you realize that regardless of the discipline, like music exists off of the page, regardless of what type of music it is. And it's really powerful once you can step away from that and realize there are other things than just playing notes on the page.
Yeah.
Maybe we can toss this back to Brandon a little bit about how Minor Element came to be, because you are a conglomerate, a syndicate, a collective.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So Minor Element kind of started with me and Braulio. And Braulio and I were taking theory classes at Kellogg Community College, and we were studying underneath Dr. Mark Wells. Really great instructor. But overall, we had such a good experience learning and figuring out, like, just a lot of different things that opened our ears to just a lot of the realm of possibilities, and that's what theory really teaches you. And with that, me and Braulio had played music since my 10th grade year, your junior year?
Yeah.
Of high school?
Yep.
And, like, we would just get called and pulled to do, like, school activities, and, like, we got this banquet for these, you know, whatever, you know. And our band director, Brian Busick, would, he would call me, be like, Brandon, Braulio, because we play after school, jam, do whatever, and just play keys, play trumpet, and he'd call us, and we just played music, and it was cool. We get paid to do it, and it was just one of those things that was just always expected, and we kind of developed that culture, especially amongst the couple classes that came up and after us. You stay after school and practice music. You stay after school and you can write something, and you can just do it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's our best work, but we can do it. So with that being said, we went to college and just kind of wanted to get our feet wet with it a little bit more. Braulio and I were jamming again after class. And literally, like, the thing that came out of Braulio's mouth was, hey, man, like, we should start a band. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, we've already been playing music together since, like, forever. So I'm like, duh, why not? That's an easy W. That's an easy, yeah, of course. So why wouldn't we? So we meet a drummer that's going to school at KCC, and he's practicing, and we end up creating a small trio, and it becomes this thing where we're just playing, like, these little banquet gigs, or we're doing something for the Community Foundation, the Urban League, the Kellogg Foundation, the KCC Foundation, and just different things, these corporate events, you know what I'm saying? It's very corporate. It wasn't to the point where we're gigging, but there's money and we're gigging to a degree, and people are starting to understand who we are, at least within our small bubble. And it was basically upon the hearing of a few different bands and styles is where we've kind of wanted to pull our sound direction and change what we were doing and create something more.
Hmm. So from playing gigs that you weren't too crazy about,
right.
probably playing Take the A-Train for the 1,000,000th time.
All right, yeah.
You wanted to create your own music and your own style and your own sound and all that. And did you start to recruit different people around town? How did it grow from you two playing gigs to?
Oh man,
there how many of?
There's there are you? I mean, there's the number fluctuates between 9 and 12, and 9 and 12 because we have. You know, our backup musicians to cover, or we just have different people that we can pull in at certain times. But you'll probably never see less than, like, 8 or 9.
Yeah. So maybe, Braulio, you could tell us how you got from jamming with your buddy.
It's a very long and difficult journey, right? If I can say that. Oh, man, I'm trying to think of everybody. There's been more people to, like, pass through the band than people who have actually, like, stayed in it or stuck with it, or are, like, kind of like backups, like Brandon said.
It's a revolving door of sorts.
Well, because, like, it was really difficult when we first started, you know, it's easy to do what we did at the beginning as a jazz band and just, you know, do banquets and make, you know, easy money just playing background music. It's another thing entirely to, you know, ask people to dedicate themselves to, like, really, like, making this a legitimate career at this point. This is basically what our aspirations were going towards. You know, some people get together and they just kind of, like, jam. That's all they want to do. They jam on the weekend or have a show on the weekend. And we're like, no, we're a little bit more serious about it than just that. So, like, you know, people kind of got, I don't want to say scared, but it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we had Xavier was the first person we added, really.
Yeah.
Afterwards. He's a trumpet definitely. Player that he was a freshman when I was a senior in high school. So I was actually like his section leader when I was playing trumpet and marching band and all that.
I think X was the first person that we recruited. Mm-hmm. And then even passing, we had gone through a drummer, a bass player. Our drummer was still Darryl. Drumming with us. Yep, Alan Darryl.
Yep.
And like I said, like Braulio said, honestly, it's just not for everybody. And the way that we wanted to move was like rigid practice. And where I come from is from discipline. Like that's where I have everything rooted for me. So just in general, I'm a third degree black belt. So I've been studying martial arts for like 14 years. And like, if I'm practicing, if I'm doing something, it's like, it's really doing something. That's part of my background for like how I wanted something to be done correctly. Because if we don't practice, you know, if you don't want to show up to practice, you don't need to be here. You don't even need to pick up an instrument. You might as well just get out. Yeah. And that's the seriousness that we took it with. And I think we needed to go through that weeding out process of, it's like a filter, to be honest. I'd rather have people that are, the few that are here to go hard than to have somebody that's not here and you're lukewarm. I need somebody hot, you know, I need somebody ready to go. Mm-hmm. And with seeing what's inside of somebody and being able to take it and cultivate it to what you need them to be, I think in general, it was worth, everybody that's here is worth the investment. And we've really been able to not just play these, you know, small banquet gigs and these little experiences where we're just like, okay, we're not being paid attention to. And that was my thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, how do we change the culture to be like, we are a, we're something that you need to pay attention to. You're something that you need to, we need your respect of looking at us when we're doing what we're doing. And that's a whole different mindset than saying, I'm going to play this gig. So we started like declining like a bunch of these things. Mm-hmm. And for a while, it put us in like a super dry spell. And we're like, okay, so where are we playing? I'm like, well, I don't know, man. Like, there's this little thing. Somebody wants us to play this, or we might be doing some accompaniment here. And I'm like, ah, that sucks. But,
oh my God.
And those were terrible.
I hated those.
Oh, terrible. Like, never want to do those ever again, unless we're collabing like as a band with our sound. And we basically came across this band, and this band is Snarky Puppy. Once we heard their sound, I mean, the first song I heard of theirs was Outlier off of We Like It Here. And it completely blew me away, like literally changed the way I wanted to format music, even the way that I was like, these guys are like rock stars of jazz fusion, and they demand attention when they're playing. I was like, we can do this. I can play that run. I can play those chords. I can do this. And this was something that was not out the reach. And I'm like, whoa, how do I cultivate this sound that's something similar to this, but us, you know? And so we started running into different people and eventually ran into a lot of different musicians and, you know, and yeah. Let Braulio piggyback off
at,
of this one.
At that point when we started listening to Snarky Puppy, I think it's funny that We Like It Here is the first album he listened to, because the first song I heard was The Curtain from Silva,
oof,
which is even more ridiculous because they had like the Metropole Orchestra with them. And I was like, oh my God, like he wanted to do like, when he said Snarky, that's what I thought of. Hmm. And I was like, that's a lot. And at this time, there was only four of us. We had just met Anthony. So Anthony, we had just met him in Lansing. So it was me, Brandon, Xavier, and Anthony. And that's it from what I remember at that time. And that's when we're like, all right, we got to start like finding more people.
Can you quickly just describe what Snarky Puppy is for those people who aren't familiar with it? I mean, it's a jazz fusion.
It's a jazz fusion band. How do you even...
You can't describe them because you can't put them in a box. You never know what they're going to do. But to put it simply, it's like if you were going to mix like the old and the new plus rock in church, that's what Snarky Puppy feels like.
It's like, you know, very similar to our band's like individual backgrounds where you had like Brandon who was learning piano from his dad and went to go play in church. And I think Anthony had the same thing, went to school for a little bit and then started playing drums for his church, gospel. And then you have like Sam learned entirely in school, you know, classical style music. And then when I switched to guitar, I was learning like, you know, blues and rock and, you know, all the typical genres that come along with guitar. Eventually you kind of get to the same point where like Snarky was like, the same thing, like hip hop, blues, jazz. They came from, I think they were all actually going to the same church and playing in the same church band.
Michael Lee, which is the bass player, and Robert Sput Seawright, who is a drummer of Snarky Puppy, they were like going to the same church. And then they kind of just built up like 9 people who were just jamming in a basement. Michael Lee told the story. He was like, hey, guys, you just want to start playing somewhere now? You know, it's 9 of us, so shouldn't we just be playing somewhere by now? And it was kind of crazy hearing that story from them. They are, you know, not what we strive to be like, but they are the foundation of what we want, where we want to go towards. It's funny, being on a subject trying to find people. When I first talked to Brandon, it was just kind of weird, I guess, because I didn't know what I was really getting myself into, who I was meeting, because I'm not from where they're from. I haven't been knowing them, you know, since, you know, before I started playing with them. So it was just kind of like weird. Then when I got to know them and what type of things they wanted to do, I'm like, okay, this is going to be like ABC. You're going to get the money, play the gig, get out. And that's not what that was at all. It's just been growing. I want to say I'm the most vocal when it comes to like finding people, because I grew up in church and like musicians that you liked, or you know, somebody came over to your church and you love the way they play, you approach them. So after me, Austin came.
Austin plays what instrument?
He plays guitar. After that, we were kind of like fiddling around at Guitar Center one Christmas, like after Christmas, and
on one Christmas Eve.
After Christmas around that time, and our bass player, Troy, who was in there, he was just fiddling around. And I was like, oh, my God, he's over there killing. We got in the car, and I stopped, and I said, Brandon, look, it's a bass player in there, and he's really good. You should go talk to him. He was like, are you sure? I'm like, yes. Everybody got the car except for me. That's the funny part. And then ever since then, like Sam, Quinn, Caleb, anybody after that, I have the, you know, had to, Joe, I've approached them, you know, and asked them, said, hey, you know, what are you guys doing? We have something pretty crazy cool going on over here. Do you want to, you know, come and see what we're doing and maybe be a part? We didn't just drag them along and say, hey, come be a part. And the funny thing is, they stayed. They stay, and some people that come through are like, you guys are crazy.
I can't do that, right?
I mean, like, I can't.
So you're not just a drummer; you're in charge of talent acquisition.
Right.
Well, maybe it's time for some music. We've got a pretty good foundation of how you came to be. I'd love to hear hear you play something. Brandon, could you introduce the first tune you're going to play for us?
Yeah, for sure. The first song we're going to play is called Big Fella. Hope you guys enjoy.
We're here live in WMUK's Decatur studio. On keys, we have Brandon Fitzpatrick and Tom Ryberg. On drums, Anthony Tyler. On guitar, Braulio Green. On tenor saxophone, Quinn Blakeney. On trumpet, Trent Sanchez. On bass, Troy Robertson III. And on trumpet, Sam Gustafson. They make up the band Minor Ailment, and we'll hear them now. Thank you.
Have you